do you think is the most radical thing you've ever done in terms of your life or in terms of your business or just in terms of who you are?
I could make every single case about why I shouldn't have, gone out on my own because I've only worked for people and now I like to work with people.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. My guest today is someone whose work really sits at the crossroads of clarity, leadership, and really some of the things that's really kind of near and dear to my heart is this idea of brand momentum. And so how do you build on something that works? And I talked about this actually earlier on LinkedIn this way, is we're always focusing on things that don't work as our best lessons, whereas I truly believe that some of the best opportunities for expansion are the things that did work. And so we're going to talk about that idea of brand momentum today. Charlie Sells is my guest. He's the founder of Clarity Over Everything. And if you look him up on Google, you'll find a cat who is helping businesses sort of get unstuck, simplify their direction, cut through confusion, which is something all of us suffer from, present company included, which is ironic because this is what I help people do as well. So what's really cool about, and again, I'm reading between the lines in conversations and emails with this guy, what doesn't show up on Google when you sort of do get your results is probably one of the most compelling things about Charlie is the depth of what he actually does with the people that he works with and sort of the impact that he makes. And you're never going to see that. It's sort of like the offensive lineman that kept the quarterback from getting sacked all game long in the Super Bowl. No one talks about the O-line. It's the quarterback who gets all the glory. So I'm not saying Charlie is an O-lineman. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but we'll talk about that. So anyway.
Out of all the things in my life, I've never been likened to an offensive lineman. So I'll take it for the metaphor's purposes.
Brilliant. Welcome to the Branding Laboratory. It's good to have you here, man.
Devo, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this. And man, I love what you're doing on the show, and I'm honored to be here.
What's the story behind who you are? How did you get into what you're doing today?
It goes back a long time. I've always loved to communicate and have always been comfortable on stage. One of those weird people who very rarely, if ever, got stage fright. So I realized during school that I was good at talking. I was good at presenting ideas. I got into that place, though, where I didn't quite know how to apply it correctly. And so I went to college, got a degree in marketing, and then immediately became a youth pastor for a decade. And what's funny about that is when you are the only person on a church staff that has a business degree, you wind up doing all of the stuff that nobody wants to do, like websites and newsletters. And this is 15 years ago, so early days of social media. And so I cut my teeth just learning by doing in a lot of ways. And though it's kind of hard to talk about like church and branding unless it's like a big mega church, it still matters how you communicate and where you do it. So that kind of became how I got into content strategy and specifically in copywriting. And going back like to when I first started, my wife was the first person to say, "Hey, you just need to start writing stuff out. Like, you've got great ideas. You can bullet point it, but at some point you're going to forget. So just start transcripting. Like, go all in, go as deep as you possibly can, then start to edit and refine and all of that." So that's what I did. I just started writing like all of my own curriculum and took over like church newsletters and did web copy and all the things you can imagine. So when I left full-time ministry in 2019, I wound up working for Dave Ramsey and Ramsey Solutions as a copywriter for 4 years. And that was awesome. I had a phenomenal experience, worked on several brands there, the most notably the Every Dollar brand, which is a personal budgeting app. I got hired on by a little startup marketing agency that, like most startups, that iteration didn't last but about 9 months. And then I went on my own because transparently, I was just tired of hearing horror stories about people who worked with consultants and agencies and were just getting handed a playbook or told that they were going to do something irrespective of their client's goals. And so, to your point, like my approach is very different, where I don't come in and say, this is exactly what we're going to do. We do an audit, we do a deep dive on your brand. We figure out, I say we, it's really just me, but I figure out what you're all about, what you're doing currently that is working so that we don't mess with that. And then how can we design priorities and a roadmap to get you to where you want to be a year from now?
That's brilliant. I love the discovery space that you operate in because, I mean, how can you apply your zone of genius to anybody you're working with if you're just sort of working from a boilerplate? So I love that discovery and sort of understanding how people are showing up in the current context of why you're serving them. I hired a marketing company many years ago, and I've told this story before, but it was just sort of like a boilerplate approach to everything. And like literally my social media sounded like everybody else, my website, anyway, yada, yada, yada. So it's really important for people like us, because we do the similar things, is understanding who you are as a client so that we can kind of have a space and a baseline on where to begin, because nobody shows up in the sort of an equal stat. In terms of people hearing you talk about you for the first time, what do you actually do in your own words right now?
What I do is I help cut through complexity and confusion in all aspects of your brand, that 40,000 foot view, help you get above it for a minute and say, all right, now that we understand the entire landscape, what has to be true in order for us to move from here to there in the next 3 to 12 weeks or 3 to 12 months, depending on what your short or long-term goals are. And then from there, we get really clear. We get you really aligned on, again, what is working and what are the opportunities that you can take advantage of next. And then finally, taking that momentum and then just letting that snowball turn over as much as we possibly can. Sometimes, Devo, that's just as simple as somebody needing a thinking partner, like somebody to bat ideas around with. Sometimes it's as deep and detailed as we got to get in a room and we got to put whiteboard and big post-it notes up on every single wall, throw every idea out there, and then start to whittle away ideas. And then it's everything in between too, right? Sometimes you just need good, clean data or an objective perspective or a trusted voice or somebody to say, hey, this works for a client, or let's go and test this thing because it's very low risk and it won't cost you anything, but it'll tell us directionally where you should go next.
I want to start off with one thing, if I may. Somebody told me this the other day, and it's a business coach of mine. He said, you need to make the distinction between growing and scaling, because scaling means you're trying to sell the business. Growing means you're trying to grow the business. I'm just curious, thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have no plans to sell or hire employees. I love what I'm doing. I love the solo nature of it. So it would be more in the growth aspect of it than the scale aspect. That's a great clarifying question.
Yeah, and I don't know that I have an opinion about it one way or the other. I just found it interesting. And this is somebody who has scaled and exited four companies. So I'm assuming he has some bandwidth on that. He's just, and he said it was really more just a sort of a psychological thing in your head. If are you building your business to continue to grow and expand and help people, or are you trying to grow so you can scale it and sell it? And I was just like, that's an interesting way. And
Sure.
I'm in the growing phase as well. So growing and sustenance phase is for me. So it's an
That's a good point.
interesting distinction. In terms of this scale by narrowing, so ask me the question, like, what is it specifically that you're looking to solve or we're going to try to solve today?
Yeah, it's a pipeline thing for me because what I'd love to do at the end of the day is have exactly, and I've got a sales coach that I'm working with now, who's helping me like understand how to work SalesNav, how to find your ICP the correct way. I've been so fortunate in my business to have almost nothing but referrals, and it's been awesome because those are the people I want to work with, like friends of friends and such. So now I'm at the point where, specifically here in Middle Tennessee, starting to narrow down geographically and maybe even, from an ARR standpoint, like who are the businesses that need help, number one, and don't know about this kind of work as well.
Is doing websites part of what you would do, like the more of the technical stuff, or are you doing more of the direction around it?
That's more of the directional side of it. So it's the easiest place to say, like, if it doesn't make sense to somebody like me who is literally looking at it cold, then we need to start dialing in your messaging and actually have a strategy around it. I looked at one that was probably 9 or 10 pages long, so much content, way too much stuff. And my directive was like, it just needs a strategy. It's almost like they took everybody's input and threw it on the website. So, and I say to clients all the time, website's not your end all be all necessarily, but it is like your business card. It's the yellow pages of today. And if it's not representative of your brand or it's not clear, then you got a problem.
But it is interesting how it's sort of like a de-evolution with a sort of like a rebrand of web technology in of itself and how people are using them now. And so I'm actually in the middle of doing that as well. I'm moving away from sort of this comprehensive bulletin board that is experiential and funnel and all those things, which are still have a place, but really just sort of like a one page. And my SEO coach is telling me that he doesn't have enough information to work with, but I would rather use that as just sort of a landing page model rather than like this is where you get all the information. If you really want to find out information from me, social media is where I'm doing what I do now best. And so LinkedIn is something I've really been diving into. So it's interesting, and I love this. I love this question, by the way. Thank you, because you and I are in similar spaces, and I'll just share some of the things that I'm doing with you if you don't if you're open to that.
Yeah,
And
let's go.
one of the things that I started using was Sales Navigator in conjunction with a couple of different tools that aggregate the data and then enable you to follow people on social media. So you instead of like just going out and lambasting them with a sales inquiry. It pings them. It likes some of their posts. It's called Cleverly. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Read about this before you jump into it, Charlie, because there are some sort of nuances that people have reputedly told me could get you into trouble. I personally have not found this, and I hate being hit with sales all the time. Like all day long, people are hitting me up. And so the approach for Cleverly, and if you're listening, we don't get any plug for this, but I am using it, and it's quite effective for me. So basically, you set up sort of like your Airbnb filter of who you want to target, right? And then it generates a link for you. You take that link and you throw it into Sales Navigator. It bounces back and forth on somehow technology behind the scenes, and then it spills out a filter of people that you want to connect with that are in that space. And then you can set up within Cleverly, you can set up these pings of going out and first of all, it'll like a message, and then you can drop a comment with a DM, and then you can activate it into your funnel. It's a softer, cleaner way rather than just like having to go through and find people. Anyway, it's a pretty cool tool. So that's one thing that I have
Okay.
found. I would like to say I was getting a bit frustrated with the lack of responses to things the other day, and I had to be reminded by a couple of people in my ecosystem that this is the time of the year. Just so to slow your roll. Nobody's spending money right now on business. They're spending money on their killing, filling their kids' fucking stockings with thousands of things.
It's
So I'm
true.
like, yeah, that is true. So people are not spending money. But anyhow, so that was one thing. And then my second thing I've just started, which I've already found to be quite viral for me and really effective, is I've started doing twice a month workshops. They are 30 to 45 minute workshops, and I pick a central topic that is at the core of my zone of genius. So for me, specifically around my zone of genius is sort of like building your core message on who you are, what you do, how you show up in the world, the problem that you solve, and it's all centered around the personal work we do behind the scenes on who we are as an individual and how do we view the world, like our beliefs, our philosophies, right? And then I've strategically sort of regurgitated that from a business user's point of view, like what would they take away with this message? What's the thing that they can most gain from this workshop? And then I go on and I show up, and my last show had eight people in it. We spend 45 minutes walking through three kind of simple things they can do right now to sort of clean up that messaging. And then I drop them into a funnel with their permission. And I try to, sort of like if you're interested in this work, this is just a small scale of what we can do. So I found that to be really effective. I'm exploring it. We'll see what the results are.
Yeah.
I've only done two of them. I have another one scheduled next month. And so I'll pause there. Feedback.
I love that idea, Devo. I mean, you're showing instant value to folks, like showcasing your expertise without having to, put your resume in front of their face. Like that's something I think all of us struggled with, like early on in entrepreneurship. Like it took me forever to call myself a founder because I was like, I don't want that to sound pretentious or, like I'm trying to be bigger than I am. But I mean, it's just a reality, right? Like I started this company to help people, so might as well lean into it. Whatever you call yourself after that, chief words guy or best brand, whatever. That's all kind of semantical, I think, at this point. But I love that you're showcasing that, because I think that's a good way. If somebody walks away, my philosophy has always been, if somebody walks away from a conversation or a discovery call and they got value out of it, then I've done my job. If it happens to lead to something that helps me pay the bills and helps them grow their brand in a way that they couldn't prior to working with me, even better. It's just I've not really gotten on board with these pay for calls or those like micro transactions yet, because I'd much rather just say like, hey, here's who I am. Take it or leave it.
100%. Yeah, one final thing, and there's a bunch of things we're doing. Like I have an entire ecosystem of stuff, but something else to I would like to share with you. I'm also now working on keynotes and workshops where I'm actually in an
Yeah.
audience so that it's my
Same.
room where sort of like I'm viewed as the expert, and then my big ticket offer is part of the show. So I'm working on that space, and I have someone to connect you with, and I'll do this after the show, but I recently did a workshop up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Where are you located, by the way?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, we're kind of neighbors. Okay, cool. So I did a workshop up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I always mess up her last name, but it's Allison Ketchikowski, something to that effect. And then this guy named Nick, who is sort of this, his zone of genius is helping people with diagnostics, is what he calls it. And so I'm building my first diagnostic right now, and I love this idea because I've used it before. But here's some feedback. So I'm taking a diagnostic and I'm using it as the lead-in for my email funnel and my marketing. And I'm going to give this diagnostic to you to take free of charge. And it's going to give you a diagnostic score on sort of your weak points, your strong points, et cetera. And then I'm going to utilize that as information to sort of follow up with them. So I'm in the middle of building mine now. I find it really cool. If you want me to connect you with the guy who showed me how to do this, I'm happy to do that. He's a really cool dude. His name is Nick, and I can connect you with him.
I'm building something similar for my stuff as well, where it's just how clear and aligned are you if you're on the path to confusion and brand erosion, or if you're on the path to clarity and momentum. And it kind of tells you on a scale of, I think it's like 1 to 50 or something like that, in the little buckets, where are you right now?
We just talked about some ideas that both of us can implement into our business, and thank you for sharing yours. I think for me, and I'm if I can just speak for a minute on this whole grow idea, I kind of got I had this existential sort of epiphany one day when I was in the woods walking, and I may or may not have had a pipe with me, I can't recall, but nonetheless, and I had this sort of existential sort of epiphany around this idea of growing and me trying to grow at the pace of someone else's expectations or what I'm seeing from other businesses. We sort of have this tendency to sort of look at, and social media is like constantly bombarding us with it, right? So we have this tendency to look at social media and hear everybody else's half-truths that they're posting, and it's like, fuck, I'm not doing that. I haven't gotten that many clients. I haven't gotten 26 clients yet. And so I really am in the middle of right now of sort of redrawing what impact and success means to me and what growth means to me. So this whole idea of scaling, what'd you call it? I sorry, scale by narrowing fits into this model because I am now narrowing down what growth actually looks like to me. And I love that you set your 26 and 26 because that's a very achievable number. And even if you were to narrow that down a little bit further, and I'm borrowing from Atomic Habits, within the 26 clients, what are the 10 things that need to happen in order for you to get the one client? And how can that become a repeatable, impactful process for the 25 remaining, right? So instead of looking at I have to get 26 by 26, I'm taking that down even further. What are the smaller things that I have to do on a day-to-day basis in order to attract these clients, in order to work on myself so my energy is proper and I'm attracting what I'm projecting? You know all these things. I'm assuming you sort of play in that sandbox as well, right?
For
So
sure.
I think again, and I'll pause there. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I heard a quote when I was in ministry once. It said, "Don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle." And social media has done exactly what you just mentioned, where it just exacerbates success, and you constantly think, man, how could I do that? And you couple that with all the shiny object syndrome of everybody who's like, it took me 3 years to build this. I'll teach it to you in 2 days. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad that works for somebody, but there's no fast track to it. And also, What's the quote about models? Like most models are bad and some are useful, right?
Yeah.
I think that's probably true for just about every course and certification and how-to thing that's out there. So I check some of them out and I glean from them, but I can't prescribe to most of them, so to speak. But yeah, you're exactly right. Like there's a playbook of sorts that I've got to dial in and say, if I'm going to do this by December 31 of next year, it requires me to siphon off this much time to sending messages and targeting and finding and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so this playbook, I call it my blueprint, my North Star. I have now physically created my North Star around what does it look like in every step of the process to land one client for me. And it's sort of like, so I've taken the customer journey and I re-engineered it inside my own building. What does my customer journey look like when other people are receiving this information? What are my touch points? How am I selling to them? How am I talking to them? What are they seeing on the website? Does my social media have a concurrent and consistent vibe to it? Is the same thing on my social media that I'm sharing in my email funnel? Are my logos all crisp and clean? It's like what's my presentation to the world look like? Because perception is reality.
That's
So
correct.
that piece, having that blueprint and having that has been really helpful for me in terms of, let me pause for a second. I see growth completely differently now after having this sort of breakdown. I did break down actually. There's a breakdown and a breakdown.
We
So
all
there's
do
two.
it,
Yeah. Right.
man. We've all had those head in the hands moments. It's
Yeah.
okay.
So I actually wrote about this on LinkedIn this the other day. It's sort of like this idea of the plan. It's like people always tell you to have this big fucking juicy audacious plan. Dude, my plan changes all the time, and some things work and some things don't. So rather than having like here's the animal I want to be when I grow up, I've done exactly what you've done. I'm just making micro assessments, micro pieces of things that are going to build and like you do, close that gap between where I am and where I want to be. And instead of looking at it from, holy shit, that's a big mountain I have to climb, I just have these small, tiny little dashes on my ruler that I just
Right.
have to hit each day. And by and large, what happens is, it keeps closing. So I'm stealing from Atomic Habits on that, which is a
For
phenomenal
sure.
book.
It
James
is
Clear, if you haven't
so
read it.
good.
Yeah. So that's great. So in terms of, so let me pause there because feedback on that, thoughts?
No, I mean it's exactly right. And I think like we all set out with grand vision. We all set out with this ambition to conquer the world and make $1 trillion for our families and transform businesses and all that kind of stuff. And then you get slapped with all the bookkeeping stuff and you're just like, oh crap, like I gotta really figure this out before I actually can do some of these things, right? And I think we do get to that point where everything you could do the SMART goals thing and SWOT analyses and everything else. But I think at the end of the day, you're exactly right. If you don't have a destination in mind and you're not willing to just take small incremental steps to get there, you're always going to be paralyzed and overwhelmed with stuff or think like, oh, why can't I just be like that person? So, I think you and I know well enough, like we could do work for just about anybody, but that doesn't mean we should, right? I saw a do you, I don't know if you follow stand-up comedy or not. There's a guy named Pete Holmes who did a special a couple of years ago called I'm Not For Everyone. That phrase right there has kind of been one of my calling cards this year, is to say, if somebody doesn't want to work with me, that's okay. I'm not for everyone. But I am for someone and I am for the right client as well. So yeah, I think just having that mentality and that daily reminder of, yeah, you're gonna have to grind and you're gonna have to build and it just comes with the territory. But if you're willing to see it as a day at a time and a step at a time, it totally changes how you bring your morale into the picture.
100%. And it gives you confidence because you're not having scarcity or fear around that big gap, right?
Right.
But each time you're knocking something off the list, it's sort of like the list is getting smaller and the gap is closing. So it's interesting. I'm curious, I just in a few words, I wouldn't mind asking you a typical scenario because I want people to sort of get a feel for how you view the world and how you operate and how you would affect things. If a client were to come to you and they've been in a process for 20 years, let's say, and they've had a pretty decent business, they've made decent money, but it was sort of like the treadmill in their own little microcosm, if you will, not the corporate treadmill where you're a prison, but you sort of, we become prisoner to our own vanity sometimes, prisoner to our own egos, and prisoner to our own process. Like it is a thing that happens, man. Like Trust me, I know. And by the way, everything that I talk about on this show is the shit that I have gone through in my own self-awareness. Not that I have figured it out, but these are the things that I have done for myself to sort of figure out how do I actually want to show up in the world, which is now how I'm working with my clients, is like, how do you want to show up? So anyhow, a client comes to you, is like, Charlie, I'm just burnt out or whatever it is. I'm working literally 24/7. I have a successful multiple six-figure business, but this is really not what I want to do anymore. How do you respond to someone like that?
I mean, my first question to them
Pretend
is,
let's role play, so I'm the client.
So my friend Austin Church, who's a freelance expert, always uses these nine words. I always say, that depends. What do you want to see happen? What do you want to happen next? And that helps us kind of reset the entire picture and say, okay, well, you're doing a lot of things really well. If you want to go from here to there, these are some of the things that we can consider. The phrase I use all the time with every single one of my clients is, I will try my hardest to not be prescriptive. If something is just flat broke, I'll tell you to fix it. But at the end of the day, we'll have a conversation and we'll collaborate together to figure out what is going to take more off of your plate so that you can do more of what you love. And I think that's where a lot of founders find themselves, Devo, is they've taken on too much, or they've tried to delegate and it hasn't worked in their favor. So sometimes it's just finding a system that's nicer to them, or a system that talks to the other systems in a better way. A lot of times it's literally just having that conversation, right? Like sometimes just talking it out makes the difference. And for somebody to go, you're not crazy, by the way, like you're pretty normal as far as a business owner goes. And there are opportunities that we're going to discover together that are going to take you from here to there.
Love that. Thank you for that thorough response. So I'm going to tell you what I ask somebody, if that's okay with you.
Please.
Similar situation. I reframe that and I say, if you had to do this for the rest of your life, but you wouldn't get paid, but you still had to serve and help or solve a problem for somebody, for something, what would you do? And then I want you to go home for the night and make a list on all the things that you really love doing. And then we're going to talk about those in our next call. And what that does is if you're not going to get paid, you're relying purely 100% on what it is you actually love doing and still can serve and solve a problem. And that's how I approach that question. So very unique perspectives from both of us. Both of them are right. Neither of them are necessarily better for you or the other. You just have to sort of find out what works for people. And that's exactly what Charlie does. So, all right, we're going to jump into the hot seat if that's cool with you.
Let's go.
So these are a quick rattle of questions. The first word that comes to your mind, first thing that comes to your mind, what
You
is
got it.
one belief about yourself that you've had to outgrow?
Ooh. That I am the most unique snowflake in Alaska.
What would you say if you could limit it to one emotion, fear, scarcity, opportunity, whatever it is? What is one emotion that built your first chapter in your business?
Optimism. I mean, that sounds cliche. It's just having a optimistic perspective.
What emotion is building your next chapter?
Grit and determination.
What is one moment that you're super proud of, but you don't talk about it?
I got to help tell the world that one of my clients set a Guinness Book World Record.
Well, that's cool. If your life was a book, what's the title of your current chapter?
That seemed like a good idea.
You're all about clarity. So, what is a central belief about clarity that you've had to unlearn to do what you do today?
It has absolutely nothing to do with certainty.
I like that. What is the single most important question that you ask yourself most often when you feel stuck?
What is it like to be on the receiving end of whatever I'm about to create?
I could tell you were a pastor. What's one decision in your career that looked like a failure, but it ultimately became sort of a cornerstone of your entire being?
Ran a nine variant test once that completely broke stakeholders' brains because what they thought was going to win was like dead last.
What is the one thing people always misunderstand about you on their first on the first impression? So I can't read today.
My last name is really Sells.
I didn't think any, I didn't think otherwise, to be honest with you.
It's a great conversation starter.
That's funny. What do you think is the most radical thing you've ever done in terms of your life or in terms of your business or just in terms of who you are?
I could make every single case about why I shouldn't have, gone out on my own because I've only worked for people and now I like to work with people.
My last two questions. What is the hill you're going to die on? Something you believe in at your deepest, most inner core that you will die on till death do you part?
I mean, it's my business name. It's that clarity matters more than anything else. The clearest ideas are the ones that win. Not the cleverest, not the most creative. It's always about the clearest.
Love it. Final question, and then you're off the hot seat. If the mothership were to arrive today and say, Charlie Sells, wait, is that your last name, Charlie Sells? Come on aboard. We're taking you home. But before you get on board, you have to leave this planet your zone of genius gift. What are you leaving them?
I mean, I've got a 7-step framework that anybody can use in a quick decision, a 30-minute meeting, or quarterly planning. That's what I would leave.
Brilliant. That's the end of the podcast, my friend. You have executed and navigated the brand laboratory with ease and grace and wonderful answers. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Man, thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to hearing from future guests in the new format. Thrilled to be the guinea pig, by the way. That's always
What'd you think of
fun.
it?
Oh, that was great. I mean, I love that we stayed within the guardrails, and I think it's every show is different, but I love that we got to really drill down on some of the core like how-tos of this because I feel like we can get caught in the philosophy so much.
Yeah.
It's really nice to get down to the practical sometimes and just say, hey, let's solve a problem in
I
10
love that.
minutes.
Well, thank you for being my guest and for my guinea pig on it. Dude, you have a good stage presence. So if you're not pursuing that space, you definitely should get into that area.
It's on my list for 26.
You're charismatic, you're well spoken, you can think on your feet really quickly. That's a rare gift. Not a lot of people possess all of those intangibles. So well played.
Something people don't know about me, and I'll just let this in. When I was in high school, my high school had a Whose Line Is It Anyway improv team that I got to be on for a couple of years. So I learned real fast how to think on your feet, and it made a big difference when I was a youth pastor too.
That's really funny you say that because I actually just joined for the first time an improv. I guess that's a, I don't know what you, it's just an improv center. And
Yeah.
so you get to spend, and then I think it's once a month you go before a live audience with your group and you actually have to be like in front. So
Oh, it's so much fun.
I'm good.
I haven't done it in like 20 years, but it is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm real. I went and I've gone and watched them a couple of times, and I just think, wow, this is something I would really like to do to really challenge myself. I don't know if I would be any good at it, but it'd be something that I would enjoy doing because I like to talk and I like being in front of people. So,
Well, you know the two most important words in improv, right?
I don't know this yet. Teach me, oh sensei.
Yes, and.
Love that. Where is the best place for people to connect with you? Social media, website.
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn, Charlie Sells, and then you can also go to clarityovereverything.com. Just keeping it simple.
I love it. And all of that information will be in the show notes below. Charlie, thanks for being here, brother.
Thanks, sir.
That was a fantastic show, Charlie. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thanks for being such a good sport to be the guinea pig for the new episode format. If you're listening, thank you for being here. I would love for anybody to drop some feedback on sort of this new flow. And so just sort of to kind of recap, the idea around the show is to introduce the guest and sort of get their origin story. And then I want to know a little bit about them and who they are and who they serve. And then we're gonna solve a problem or have a discussion together around a central problem that the guest is facing. And so if you're listening to the show and you'd like to be part of this new program, send me a DM, go on the website. It's thebrandstoryteller.com. Navigate over to the podcast, hit apply, and we'll get your information. And if you're cool, you'll be a guest. So that's pretty much it. Thank you for being here today. For all of you who are listening, I know you have a lot of choices, literally millions of choices now with podcasts. So I appreciate you giving me your 45 minutes of undivided attention. And if you enjoyed the show, if you enjoy listening to my guest, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Like, That's a no-brainer. That's how you get notified on the next episode. Take this episode and share it with somebody. Maybe you know somebody who could be a guest, or maybe somebody who would benefit from this. Share it with them. Maybe somebody is trying to build something meaningful, and if they can learn one thing from my guest or from me, then we've done our job, and it's because of you. So join us next time, next week for the Laboratory. I've got a really cool lineup of guests that are coming in the calendar year of 20, the rest of 25 and 26. Happy holidays to all of you. I'm dating myself by saying that. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, have a wonderful day, and I will see you on the other side. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.